Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment God has brought us to this morning. Whoa, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanking God for this day that he has made. I rejoice in it. I am glad in it. I am thankful, grateful, and blessed that God gave me a do-over, that he gave me an opportunity for another day, because he did not have to wake me up this morning, but he did. He did not have to give me a new day, but he did. He did not have to give you a new day, but he did. We are blessed beyond measure to have been given another day, because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We ask you, Father, to increase as we decrease. We ask you, Lord God, to give us insight and understanding of your word this morning. Father God, I lift this word up to you, asking you, as always, Lord, be my strength, be my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Lord. And I ask you, Father, take me behind and place me in your loving wings as you move forward in your word, Lord. Speak through me what you will have me say. Remove all flesh and return it with spirit, the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost speak through me today in Jesus' name. I lift up this word, laying it at your altar, Father God, thanking you in advance that you, Lord God, will speak through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Asking God to speak through me, because, again, so many times we want to go in flesh and do everything, but in flesh we can accomplish absolutely nothing. In flesh, I barely can speak sometimes. In flesh, silver and I cough. In flesh, I can accomplish absolutely nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, gracious Father, for being such a good, good Father. As the song says, that's who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's get in our word this morning, family. And as always, it is a great word today. You know, we are coming out of 1 Samuel chapters 8 and 9. And the Israelites are wanting a king. They want to be like everybody else. They want to be like Mike. They want to be like, you know, LeBron. They want to be like everybody. You know, we want to be, whew. And I know he's retired. What is it, Derek Jeter was the baseball player for the New York Yankees, I believe. Yes. And, you know, want to be like him, you know. Want to be like Michael Jordan, you know. Want to be like, what's his name, Curry. All these folks, the sports stars, you know, all these people want to be like everybody else. You know, we want to have the church du jour. We want to be like Church ABC, who has the best band and the best choir and the best dancers. You know, they put on a show. They got smoke and they got mirrors, and they got just, it's just slamming at that church, and it's so big, and it's so pretty, and it's so this, and it's so that. And Pastor, he just makes it, keeps it real for you. And then the question becomes, and what did he teach on? Well, I'm not sure. Oh, just on love. And what scripture did he come from? Oh, he don't use the Bible. He just preaches the word. And your mind is saying, no Bible. How is he teaching with no Bible? How are you learning the word with no Bible? Because we want to be like everybody else. And it breaks God's heart. We want to be like everybody else and not like his children, not like his chosen, not like his appointed, because God is our teacher. God is our pastor. God is our absolute. That's why he left us this word that we call a Bible, our basic instruction before leaving us. Because one day we will leave and we will return. We leave as ashes and dust and we return as spirit, ready to work and walk in the kingdom of God. It's time to go to work, family. So get your Bible, because this is Bible study. And we are about to go into 1 Samuel chapter 8. And the title that God gave me was, Be Careful What You Ask of God. Be careful what you ask of God. The children of Israel were not careful what they were asking of God. They were asking of God to be for a king. Doesn't our word tell us that God is King of kings and Lord of lords? That you don't need to have another king because you got one? That all things are working for your good because you already got God in your life. Whatever you ask, he'll do it. So what they asked for was a king. And God said, okay, Samuel, give them what they asked for. So let's get into the word and find out all the stories and get it all in context. And this is what it says. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. And just like the sons of Eli, just wicked, just ratchet, just hot messes, doing everything, wanting this and wanting that, and not being good men of God like they were raised. And we all know that some PKs can be some mess too, you know. They can be something else, but God. But these young men are older men because Samuel was old, so they're probably older, mature, pastors, prophets, teachers, fivefold, if you want to call it, but they did not fivefold back then. But anyway, let's go back and let's see what it says. Now, it came to pass when Samuel was old. Y'all caught that. That he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes and perverted justice. Yeah, I'm not going to touch that. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like everybody else. Your boys ain't like you, so we don't want them. We don't want them judging us because They don't have God. They ain't like you. So can you get, we want another judge. You know, I'm sure they were some belligerent, absolutely awful folks. And their hearts in them, because he knew he had given his all to Israel. He had given his all to God since he was a baby. Because you think this through, he was a baby when he went to Eli. He was only probably no more than 3 years old, because it was right after he was weaned that he went. So he was probably three. You know, the most he could have been was four. I would say he was probably three. You know, my children were weaned at least by, what, 1.5, 2 years old. One weaned a lot earlier than the other. But the bottom line is, they're normally weaned by two years old. The most, back in those days, I'm sure it took a little longer. So I would say he was probably weaned around three. So he was a baby going to Samuel in this little outfit that his mama made him to look like he was a priest and to work in the house of God, because she dedicated him to God. So he had given his entire life. He was born to serve God. And now you have these people saying they want a king. So let's keep it going. It says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariot, and some will run before his chariot. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifty. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariot. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain, your vintage, and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servant. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourself. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Did they not learn that the battle is not theirs, it's the Lord's? Did they not learn from the time of Joshua when the sun stood still so they could win? Did they not learn that God is in charge of everything and that God is the judge of everything? Nope. They wanted like to be like everybody else. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes, because do we do the same thing? Do we not heed the voice of God Do we not ask God for everything? Do we not allow everything else to take its place? It's something to think about. Am I acting just like these people, wanting something to replace God? And it goes on to tell us, and Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. There was a man in Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeor, the son of Bechorah, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. And he had a choice. He had a choice and a handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was not a man handsome, there was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise, go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there, through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. Then they had come to the land of Zuphah. Saul said to his servant, who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us. And he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessel is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke to us, come, let us go to the seer, for he who is now formally called a seer. Then Saul said to the servants, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, there. He is just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. And soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up. For about this time you will find him. So they went to the city, and they were coming into the city. There was Samuel coming out toward them on his way to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come up to me. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place where you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkey, that were lost 3 days ago. Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? Now Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion of which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up that thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you. Since I said I invite the people, so Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day. Then Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. And they were going down to the outskirts of the city, and Samuel said to Saul, tell the servants to go ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God. Now that I may announce to you the word of God, we have to be careful what we ask for of God, because I'm going to tell you, God will give you the desire of your heart, but we have to pray that the desire of our heart is for more of God. And as we go into our life lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 8 and 9, it says this, in 8 and 3, they turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. As great and as godly as Samuel was, he did not do a much better job as a father than did Eli. Regardless of how involved in ministry we are, we cannot afford to neglect the spiritual training of our children. Talking to the ministers and pastors and teachers and fivefold out there, we got to pour into our children just as much as we pour into other people's children. We got to bring our children into the kingdom, just like we are working and trying our best to bring other people's children into the kingdom. We've got to work for God. But we have to start at home. In 1 Samuel 8 and 6, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Even in his old age, Samuel sought to hear the voice of God. When confronted with a challenge, he didn't think he knew it all. He went to the Lord for guidance. So should we. We got to go to God. We got to go to God for everything. But we still must be careful what we ask of God. These children of Israel asked a lot of God. They didn't want him to judge them anymore. They didn't want to time with him. They wanted a king. But God gave a warning. God gives us warning as well. You know, Lord, I need to be a millionaire. No, you don't. Be careful what you ask for. Because once you get it, what you do with it? Do you give it back to God? Or do you keep it, spend it on all the things that you don't need? And then once you got it and don't have, and need and not have, we got to be careful what we ask of God. And it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. We will have a king over us that we also may be like all the nations. Trying to be the Joneses. We can't try to be like everybody else. We are not, as men and women of God, as children of God, we can't be like everybody else. We are set aside. We are set apart. We are different. And it tells us in every culture and time, God's people feel a chance to be like those around them, to conform to the customs of their unbelieving neighbors. But Jesus tells us, do not be like them in Matthew 6 and 8. We can't be like everybody else. You can't be in the club. You can't be out there dropping it like a tide on TikTok. You cannot do it. You cannot be like everybody else. 1 Samuel 9:16, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint them commander over my people Israel. God often uses misfortune to bring us to the very place where he will show us his will. The dark moments of life will last only so long as necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in us. And I'm going to read that again. And I read it so for a purpose. I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel. And as Dr. Stanley tells us one more time, God often uses misfortune to bring us to the very place where he will show us his will. Saul, lost donkey. Again, there's a donkey in the midst that gets you where you need to go. It stops you from being stupid and foolish. But Saul's donkey, lost donkey, got him to the man of God. Got him where he needed to be the man of God. Chosen by God. Anointed by God. Made king by God. And as again it says, the dark moments of life will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in us. Some of you may be going through your darkest moments right now, but understand, it's just for it. God has got better things for you. We all go through our darkness. We all go through our time of just being messy. But I tell you one thing, God will help you clean up and be better. We've got to trust in the Lord today. We've got to give it to God and let God do what God does. Make a way out of no way. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as we go into our word one more time in 1 Samuel 9:21, am I not a Benjamite? Understand, remember what we just read not too long ago about the Benjamites. They was almost destroyed. Almost annihilated, so wicked, inhospitable, wanting to lay with man and man, all that stuff. It was the nasty mess that was going on in the territory of Benjamin, to the point of murder, rape, and just awfulness, that they were almost destroyed. 600 were left out of thousands. 600 left. And then they had to find them wives because they had made vows that no man in the king would allow his daughter to marry a Benjamite. Almost annihilated. When he talks about being the smallest tribe, it's so true. They are because they were almost gone because of sin. But God raises a king out of this sinful nation, out of this sinful tribe, Israel. And he tells us, like Gideon before him, Saul thought of himself as small, unimportant, and powerless. But God loves to use the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Don't let anybody diminish who you are tell you what you can't do, tell you that you're not called, tell you that you're not important to God, because you are. We are all important to God. We are all his sons and daughters. He engrafted us all into his mind. Once we became saved, we became part of God's family. Don't let anybody tell you who you are. You are a child of God, and he loves you. He loves you. But I say this, be careful what you ask of God. Make sure it's what you really, really want. Because I tell you this, if you ask him to be a minister, a pastor, teacher, any of these five folks, I tell you this, any of them, anybody tell you, oh, it's easy, I accepted my calling, and it was wonderful, and it was great, and it was, and that, no, they are not telling the truth. And they were not called. I have not met one person who was called who has not gone through. Not one who has not gone through something. And God took us, destined us off, called, but I tell you, I don't know anybody who have accepted the calling and they have not gone through something. Because iron sharpens iron. And just like the butterfly, you can't fly until you go through. Because when you go through, it fills you up. It gives you what you need. It helps you be who you're supposed to be. But I don't know anybody who have not gone through. Not one. And when I've heard somebody doing a whole lot of talking about, well, I just accepted the call, and, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just good. They didn't get it. That's not God. Because God's going to make you go through. Because he can't have weak vessels. You can't have somebody that can't fight, because you got to be able to stand up and stand up with God. Because we all know the battle's not ours, it's the Lord's, but we got to be able to stand. And if when you have not gone through, you have not been through, you have not had to go through some things, you don't know how blessed you are. You don't know how, you don't know how hot the fire can be. Because God's going to take you through to make you stronger, to make you better, so that you can hear his voice. Psalm 55, verses 9 through 15, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. This is the Psalm of David. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is missed. Oppression and deceit do not depart from the streets. You think he was talking about some folks with some cities right here in America. I tell you, everything he just said is stuff that's going on right now. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. All you have to do is turn on the news every night. You know, because we all, as communication majors, we hear, you know, that blood and guts and all the negativity is what sales need, unfortunately. People want to see the bad and not the good. You just can only pray for the good to show up and show out. But this is what it says. And I mean, everything David is saying in this scripture going on right now in many cities all over this planet And I'm going to go again. Destroy, O Lord, and divide themselves, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. But we don't have walls, but Lord knows we have those spiritual walls that have been placed up. And we understand iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Absolutely. Destruction is in its midst. Absolutely. Oppression and deceit do not depart from the street. Every day it's in the midst. But it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I can bear it. But it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I can bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man companion in my acquaintance. We could seek counsel together and walk to the house of God in the throne. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. David wasn't talking about just anybody. He was talking about people just like him, people of God. We've got to understand that everybody who claims to know the Lord are not always there for you. That so much mess happens in the church. How many children were molested in the church? How many young people were molested in the church? How much immorality has happened in the church? Eli's sons in the church, Samuel's sons in the church. David was speaking about folks in the church. I would never in a million years would have thought that people would have been murdered in a church. That someone would come into the house of God, sit down, have Bible study. And as Bible study is ending, got hugged and loved. And then came back in, killed 9 people. Oh, and when caught, the police took him to Burger King because he was hungry for nothing. And never once did he repent. Never once did he tell his family that he was God. America. It's got to stop the hate and the hatred based on race, based on ethnicity, based on things that are not of God, and to start to kill it. Let's understand this outward thing that we call our skin. That's what it is, outward. Because God's going to look at your inward. He's going to look at your soul right with God. Take heed. And it goes on to say in Proverbs 15:15-17, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord, can I say it, than great treasures with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. That is something to really think about. That is really something to think about. Having a whole lot and no love is like having nothing. It's like having nothing. I'm grateful for the love I have with my children. I'm grateful that I'm blessed to be a mom. I'm grateful that God has called me out. We are all children of God, and all he wants is to love us. So let's keep it moving into our New Testament word. And I know this Luke word is a little behind what we've been dealing with in the world. We've had our Easter already. We've had our our Easter celebration. We know Jesus died for us, praise the Lord, and that he rose. Hallelujah, he got up. But right now in Luke, we're talking about the precursor. We're talking about when the devil got into Judas, when the Lord allowed Judas to be a vessel for the destruction of our Savior, to be a traitor, to be a snitch, to be a cheater, to sell someone out for money. But again, remember this word when you think about Judas. He didn't have a choice. He probably had a choice because he was doing some dirt before the devil ever got in. He was already on his way to Satan anyway. But let's read the word of God and see what God's word says. In Luke chapter 22, so join me in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be reading today verses 1 through 23. And after we get finished, if there's someone that has something to say about this Bible study, I have something to add, please push the number 1 on your phone. I'm trying to get finished around 7:45, no later than 7:50, so we have some time for others to come in and speak on the word that we read or talked about today. And it says this, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, there it is, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them, and they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to be, want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you the large furnished upper room. There, make ready. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the bread, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to question amongst themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. And a couple of life lessons from this word this morning is this. The first is, possessor of the darkest of human hearts, Judas Iscariot could never be described as godly, but his betrayal powerfully reminds us of the horrific possibilities within every human heart. While Judas called Jesus Rabbi, there is no record that he used the term Lord. It has always been possible to claim allegiance to God without ever handing over the soul title deed. When Judas approached Jesus in Gethsemane, he received one final chance to win eternal asylum. But sin had so blinded Judas that he did not see the way, the truth, and the life resonates not only because of Judas's evil kid, but also because we realize the wickedness of our own flesh. How many attend church regularly and give Jesus intellectual assent, but not their hearts? How many call him king only to assume their own throne? What kind of kiss do we give the Lord? What kind of kiss do we give the Lord? Have we made Jesus our Lord and Savior? Is he our Lord? Is he our Savior? Is he our truth? Is he the way for us? Is he the truth for us? Is he the life for us? Is he our light? Is he our I am? Is he our Savior? He is mine. I love the Lord. I love you, Jesus. That's my testimony. Because I know where I've been. And I know where he's brought me from. I know so many times I could have died. But he saved my life. For a purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm about to shout this morning, so just get out of my way and watch me dance. Luke chapter 22, verse 3, Satan entered Judas, the name of Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. Judas is the only person whom the Bible explicitly says was possessed by Satan. Actually, everybody else, they said they were demon-possessed. But nobody else was possessed by Satan but Judas. Many Bible scholars believe that Antichrist will be as well in Revelation 12 and 13. Both men are called the son of perdition. Remember that word, the son of perdition. And when we go over, we're going to go here really quick. If someone does not mind, we're going to go over to Revelation chapter 12. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 12, I believe. Okay, when we go to John 17, it says, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Let's go back to get it all in context. And it tells us, but now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my full joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, your word and truth to the world. I also have sent them into the world. This is Jesus speaking with God. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And when we go up to 12, one more time, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And the son of perdition was Judas. And when we go over to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 3, it says this, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come until the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Again, the Antichrist is coming. We know that, and he will be revealed. But we have to be ready and steadfast. And this is what it's called, the great apostasy. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will come unless, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Remember that. That's something to think about. As we get finished and wrap it up this morning, I thank you all for being with me this morning as we had Bible study. It has been a great word this morning. God is good. And before we get out, just remember this, that when we talk about Judas, Satan entered Judas. Judas was possessed. Judas was possessed by Satan. Not my word, but God's word. Only one in the Bible ever possessed by Satan. Everybody else had demons, but Judas was the one that was possessed by Satan. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning on this third day of May, the word that God has given me in our prayer for this morning is coming out of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. And our title for this morning is All I Carry. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That is something we as men and women of God have got to remember. We can't get caught up in the world talking about, oh, well, they coming to take our jobs, doing this, this, and that. The word of God has told us as Christians, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you are foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Lord, over all, you exhibit love to everyone equally, choosing favorites. God, give me a heart that is undivided in its love for you and for others. May my own biases come crashing down as I live with your love clothing my heart and mind. I am grateful to be found in you, fully accepted. How could I turn away those who are different than me, excusing it because of fear? Your love kicks fear out the door. There's no excuse to trade compassion for suspicion. Lord, as you are benevolent to everyone, without preference, let me be like you. I can only give what I have received, so refresh me in your love today that pushes off every fear. Thank you for your love that is all-inclusive. Father, may I operate as your child in the goodness of your character to all, dealing in mercy and grace. And this is the word that God has given us to think about this morning from this prayer. Is fear keeping you from loving others who are different than you? We don't walk in fear. We walk in faith. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, And again, if there's anybody that has a word from God, put your hand up, push the number one on your phone, and your line will be open. And our word for my sister this morning is this. Good morning. God has supplied for all of your needs. There is no shortage, lack, or recession with God. Don't stress over what you don't have. Trust Him. Have a trust God Tuesday. And I'm saying it again. Our word this morning was, be careful what you ask of God. And as our sister says, you don't have to ask because God has supplied for all of your needs. He's already supplying everything you need. God's already got it for you. There is no shortage, no lack, or recession with God. Don't stress over what you don't have. Trust Him. Have a trust God Tuesday. Because what God put in my heart is, God has already supplied everything that you need. Thank you so much, family. I have a caller. Thank you so much.
Yes, this is Pastor Jessie.
Good morning,
Jessie.
Good morning.
Bridget, I am good this morning. Good this morning. Very good this morning. Only thing I'm saying that this morning I enjoyed the word. The word was awesome on this morning, amen. And I just enjoyed it this morning. Just like you, standing on the word of God, we got to trust Him in all things. Hallelujah, because His word says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So I'm just so grateful to be alive, to be able to witness, to be able to, hallelujah, be on the line with you this morning. May God bless you. May God keep you. Love you.
Love you, too. I want to present to some and introduce to others. This is my shepherd. This is the angel of the house that I attend. This is my pastor. And so for all my moving forward family, this is the one I talk about all the time. This is Pastor Jesse. And so Pastor Jesse, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We appreciate you. We love you. And when we talk about that Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, this is my pastor that is in charge of that Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And so I thank God for this woman of God who believes in the power of prayer. So thank you so much, Pastor Jesse. I appreciate you. I love you. And I thank you for joining us this morning. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. And as we leave, as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life, who is the Son of God, our Most High, the one that loves us so much that He gave His life, and for the Father that loved Him and us so much that He gave His Son. But we are thankful, grateful, and blessed to be children of the Most High God. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. Bye, Pastor Jesse, because we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Because at the table, we are always really ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.